It's time to present Scott DuPont to bring you another episode of Finance Your Movie with tips and strategies to help you get your money to tell your story. It's time!
Okay, back with another episode of Finance Your Movie. We just had this guest on, I think about a month ago, Monroe Mann. Monroe is an entrepreneur. He's an entertainment attorney. He's also a film producer himself. He's navigated lots of filmmaking clients. And on the last episode, we talked about his book, Trust, about fundraising. Welcome, Monroe.
Hi, Scott. Great to be back.
So we're not talking about any of those things. Go back last month. And the reason I wanted to bring you back, Monroe, is your episode was one of the most listened to. We had a lot of really, really positive comments. I think it's rare that an entertainment attorney who's also an entrepreneur and a filmmaker, you really, really resonate with the audience.
And now a TEDx speaker.
That's right. Congratulations on the TEDx thing coming up soon. So we're here today to talk about not this book. I've read a lot of the guerrilla books over the years, but you actually wrote a book with the late great J. Conrad Levinson called Guerrilla Networking.
There it is.
Yep. Read it many times. Great, great book. And this topic comes up a lot, Monroe, and I want to dive deep into this today. People say, I don't know, because Scott, how do you get films financed? Well, you got to have a killer business plan. You got to have a great team. You got to have all your ducks in a row, right? That there's a whole episode we could do separately about that. But once you have everything together, because you only get one chance when you're sharing an exciting movie project with somebody, you really need to start with going to your network. So I wanted to talk about the importance of networking and financing your movies. So let's talk. I want to kind of break this into two parts, Monroe. First part is when you meet somebody for the first time, you're really more planting the seeds. Hi, my name is Monroe Mann, yada, yada, yada. Then there's a second time, come back a period of time later. Hey, remember me? I'm Monroe. Good to see you again. I'd like to share this exciting movie I'm doing. And there's probably a lot of time in between. So that's what I wanted to dive into, is the whole networking process that eventually building a network where somebody who might remember you, at least know who you are, would consider a risky movie investment.
So where to start? Do you want me to approach this from the standpoint of guerrilla networking?
Yeah, I mean, just drop some advice that you think would be helpful for our audience. You know our audience.
Okay.
Because so many people don't know how to network.
Sure. So that's a good starting point. Most people think of networking as you go out there and meet people. And people who don't know anybody think, okay, I need to go out there and meet people. That's what I need to do. I got to go create connections. I got to go meet investors. I got to go meet agents. I need to go meet screenwriters, blah, blah. And the concept of guerrilla networking flips that on its head and saying, stop going out trying to meet people. Instead, you should be focusing most of your 95% of your effort on becoming the type of person who other people want to meet. And it's a strange concept in the fact that it's not a quick fix. You only can do guerrilla networking if you are in it to win it, like Scott and I are. We've known each other for probably 20 years. And you need to have the patience to develop yourself into such an interesting person who's got so many cool things going on. And the definition of cool doesn't necessarily have to be across many different fields. It just needs to be enough that people will say, who is this Scott DuPont guy? I want to get to know him. As soon as they say, I want to know more about you, boom, you've done it. You're now a guerrilla networker because they're curious about you, and then you're in the power seat because instead of you pushing, hi, I'm Monroe, hi, I'm awesome. They go, hey, what? An investor who invested in You Can't Kill Stephen King got in touch with me just recently. He said, Monroe, you got any new projects I can invest in?
Wow.
And it's like, that's exactly what it is. It's like, oh my gosh, it happens. Once you put a lot of work in, people wouldn't, 15 years ago, would not say, Monroe, do you have any projects I can invest for movies? I mean, that's just crazy. But that's what happens when you create the track record. And if you watch the episode about trust that we talked about earlier, it'll give you some tips on, well, how can I get that trust so that people will come to you?
So I've been hanging on every word you just said. Can you drill down a little bit for the audience? When you first approach someone, how do you make yourself memorable? How do you, it's like, that's Monroe, that's the kind of guy I want to learn more about. Can you kind of give us some words of wisdom here?
It's really hard. I will tell you that. To become the type of person that other people want to meet, it is not easy. So the first thing I'll just say, how do you do it? Do not assume that you're going to magically do it in a day. And do simple things to make people want to get to know more about you. Scott mentioned the first time that you meet somebody is the planting the seeds, and that's correct. You don't want to plant the seed and be someone who's a motor mouth and talking, blah, 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 blah. And I just did this, and I just did this, and I'm so proud. And it's like, you know what? You're so annoying. I don't care what you did. Yeah, as Scott's going, it's just about you. It's about me. Look at me. Look how great I am. In How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think that's the book that this technique comes out. Talk about the other person. Show the other person that you care about what they are doing. And because everyone has an ego. I think Scott's showing it up right there by Dale Carnegie. And it's an old book, but
I read this book once a year. It's that powerful.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's another tip. When you find a great book that really helps you a lot, don't just read it and put it on the shelf. Keep it there and go back to it every year, every 2 years, because you're not going to read it through the same set of eyes because you're a brand new person a year later. If you're applying all these concepts you're learning from Scott's podcast and from what I'm telling you, a year from now, you read the same book, you're going to go, oh, now I get it. Oh, I didn't see that before. But going back to specific things that you can do, pick somebody that you want to meet. In the filmmaking world, an example I use in the book is Steven Spielberg. Don't try to meet Steven Spielberg. It's not going to work, really. It might. But the odds are he's got 5 million other people who are trying to meet him. Instead, so you know what? I'm going to pull back and just ask myself, what type of person does Steven Spielberg want to meet? And maybe you'll do research and you'll find something very specific, but let's say it's just in general, somebody who has an amazing screenplay that has the backing of a number of people that's won an award, something like that. You can't just say, oh, I've got a screenplay that Steven Spielberg likes. You're a nobody. So am I. So is Scott. We're all nobodies in the big scheme of things. In the eyes of God, my point being is, try to think of what's going to make that screenplay pop as something different. You can still do traditional networking and send your screenplay to Spielberg, but he's got 1.5 million readers who are looking through all these screenplays. They have maybe 3 minutes that they'll look at, they'll read the first two pages. Okay, make the first two pages incredible. Include a cover letter from Tom Cruise or have it pre-vetted by having an attorney call on your behalf to the agent and say, hey, my client just sent this screenplay to, you want to interrupt, Scott? Go ahead.
You just brought up a very, very good point, and this ties into networking. So Spielberg, his readers, he has two or three readers. He's got three gates. You can't even get to Amblin Entertainment once you get through the Universal Studios gate. There's two or three gates you got to get through to get into Amblin. I tried once, couldn't get past the third gate. But you just said something brilliant. Do something creative where if you know Tom Cruise or somebody like a Tom Cruise to write a cover letter, because I would think, And I don't play in that world where I'm trying to get a $30 million film funded by a big studio like Universal Studios. I would think that, hey, Tom's in Steven's network. Steven and Tom are buddies. They've done a couple of films together. If Scott knows Tom, hey, kumbaya, this is kind of the network. I might put this script to the top of the pile, or I might take extra time looking at this, right?
100%. And this is, that's just the first level of it. Ideally, you shouldn't even be thinking so small. It should be, who does Spielberg want to meet? Someone who just won an Oscar, potentially. Who does Spielberg want to meet? Someone who's helping his daughter with math homework. Of course he wants to go, oh, tell me why you're the best person to help my daughter study with math. It sounds silly, but you have to just think, who does Spielberg want to meet?
That makes a lot of sense.
About Tom Cruise. You think, oh, but I don't know a Tom Cruise. That's fine. You do the same process. Well, how can I meet somebody like, how can I make somebody like Tom Cruise want to meet me? Oh, well, I've got to make a, I need to be a part, I need to get cast in his movie. So who casts people in Tom Cruise's movie? I'm sure he has a go-to casting director. Okay, so what would make this casting director want to meet me? And it goes back and back. And you just have to think very creatively. And it's not about, well, I'm a great actor. That's why she wants to meet me. Everybody's a great actor.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are horrible actors who end up making millions. And I'm sure someone listening right now knows exactly what I'm talking about, where I'm sure you are incredibly talented. Who cares? That has nothing to do with whether you become successful in your chosen field. It's about, are you good at networking? And in this case, are you good at guerrilla networking? If you're not getting the opportunities you want, it's because you're not doing what is making these people want to meet you. Just an example, I've tried for 15 years to get a TEDx talk. And if for those of you who don't know, they have 40 million subscribers on their YouTube channel. It's a very competitive thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, and by the way.
Thank you. And it took 15 years because when I was applying, nobody wanted to meet me. Nobody wanted to meet me. But what I've done over the last 15 years, and my applications are better. My public speaking is better. I gave these amazing pitch videos that were rock hard, solid, amazing. Guess what? They're now coming to me saying, hey, we'd like to talk to you more. We'd like to book you. And I have this one that I did at TEDx NYU. That's done. And I have a couple more that are in the works. This would not be possible were it not for this concept of guerrilla networking. Whenever I get rejected, and Scott, you and I talk about this all the time. If you get rejected, why? Why did that happen? How do you fix that so that the next time you have that opportunity, because as Scott said, you have one opportunity to introduce yourself. You're going to screw up a lot of times with guys, with girls, with friends, with business partners, with investors, with screenwriters. That's fine. Just get over it. Don't let it drag you down and realize, all right, now how do I use this to become a more likely person that people want to meet and work with next time?
So let's talk about the first time. You're trying to be memorable. You're trying to be someone that someone who maybe has the capability of investing in an independent film might have the resources or whatever, although I never, ever, ever prejudge anybody because you never know. But you graciously met that person. Hey, I'm Scott. I'm a big fan of your business. I shop at your store all the time. Anything I can do to promote your store? What can I do for you? However I meet people, I try to be altruistic. Then there's a gap of time. Two things I want to ask you about. What can we be doing in that gap of time, whether it's a couple of weeks, a couple of months, when I first met that person that I want to develop a relationship with? And then the second part of that, when's the right time to finally go back and say, hey, Bob, we've known each other the past 6 months or the past 6 years. I would love to share this movie opportunity with you.
Sure. One thing I just want your listeners to know that Scott is 99% of the situations, what Scott is telling you is correct. And this will make sense when I'm done. If you know for certain, when I say for certain, that's a very rare situation. But if you know for certain that what you are offering is going to change this investor's life, and you can prove it with evidence, and you're on a schedule, and there's a deadline, this and that. There's nothing wrong with making your introductory pitch the actual pitch. You don't have to have it just be introduction. If, and again, don't misunderstand me, that doesn't mean 99% of you cannot do this, because you don't have anything that is a 99% awesome, incredible opportunity. What's an example of that is you're saying, hey, you've already got your script. We keep going back to Tom Cruise. I'm a fan of his, but you got Tom Cruise attached as the lead actor. You have Spielberg attached as the director. The schedule is already set. They are booked. This thing is starting in 2 weeks, and you need an extra $20,000. In that sense, you just go to everybody you know and just go, here's the deal. I've got a movie. It starts in 2 weeks. Tom Cruise is starring, Spielberg directing. We start on April or May 15th, June 15th, whatever it is. We need an extra $20,000. I'm asking everybody I know, do you want to be that person? And the rate of return is 10% within 6 weeks of finishing post-production, blah, 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 blah. Something like, that's an amazing pitch. And anybody would be interested in saying, let's talk.
This is crazy. You used that whole example. That almost exact example happened to a friend of mine. So a friend of mine is Dan Griffin. He's doing background work, an extra on some movie. And he overhears that American Gangster is getting ready to go, but I think they lost a director and they lost the money, or vice versa. And Dan goes, God, what an opportunity. Like, this would be a crime if this movie falls apart, because he was a big Denzel Washington fan. And he just started talking to a bunch of people. And I think he introduced a director and he got the money, and he got a producer credit on American Gangster. Just a regular guy doing background work.
I'm glad you had a real world example of that from your own life, and here, so that your listeners
know. That's a real world example.
So now it can happen, but it's not often. But all I'm telling you is, be prepared to think. Don't be shy if you have the opportunity of a lifetime, but don't let your ego get ahead of yourself. You probably do not have an opportunity of a lifetime. And I think that's where a lot of people mess up when they're introducing themselves. They try to make everyone, oh, it's so great. It's like, stop. We know you're faking. We know you're faking it till you make it. You're trying to impress me. Don't try to impress people. That's another thing about guerrilla networking. Traditional networking is, I'm going to try to impress you, Scott. Guerrilla networking. For example, when I said, and TEDx speaker, that was me trying to impress you, quote unquote. That's not bad. There's nothing wrong with me trumpeting my own accomplishments. Well, but how much better when let's say your listeners watch this, and then all of a sudden they're searching on Google and they're on the TEDx YouTube channel, and they go, oh my gosh, that's the same guy that was just on Scott DuPont's podcast. Boom, that's guerrilla networking, because now your listeners would want to meet me even more without me even having to say it. Someone else trumpeted my accomplishments. Did you want to add something?
Yeah. I think the thing here, I was one of the first phone calls, and I'm flattered because I was so happy for you when you got TEDx a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you were the third. You might think you might have been the second person, but I know you were busy.
I'm honored. And I was thrilled for you. And when you just said it earlier in the podcast, I believed, because I know you, that you were stating that because you were proud, because you spent 15 years. It was like a dream, and you just wanted to share that. And the point I'm trying to make here, and I hope the audience will understand this, they should, and I want you to chime in. There's a big difference in going to somebody, because I'm friends with some investors of my movies. I hang out with them. They're my friend. They're people I know. And when someone finds out that Jeff executive produced one of my films, they're going to be like, oh, I got a movie project. Like, you can see it coming a mile away. It's just awful.
Yeah.
So I want you to talk about approaching somebody like, hey, I got a movie project. Can you look at the script? Will you finance my movie, versus what you're talking about in the guerrilla networking?
So to answer that question, let me go back to the earlier question you asked that I didn't answer yet, which was when you do, which is what will happen in most situations. You're at a party or an event or this, that, or you introduce yourself and you don't want to come across too strong as too eager. Because it's what does it say? You can smell desperation, and it's not a good
turnoff.
It's a turnoff. So let's say you've made the introduction to somebody, an investor. What do you want to do in that meantime, but in that 6 months between, okay, I met this person, and okay, now I'm ready to pitch? First, keep your ears open, because you have to be aware. You're a salesman, whether you like it or not. That's what you are as an entrepreneur. So that's great. You're a filmmaker. You're not a filmmaker first. You're a salesman first. You're an entrepreneur first. So think about that. Think of your salesman ears at any time. They always say, don't close the sale beyond the time when the customer is ready to buy. Meaning, if the person says, okay, how much? Don't go, okay, well, I want to tell you a little bit more about myself. And then before you know it, they go, you know what? I don't want to work with you anymore. Get the money from them and then answer their specific questions. So if there is an opportunity, when you're talking to them, start thinking you're grilling everything. What are they looking for? What would make their lives easier? Scott does this with me all the time. And as he said, he's a very generous, altruistic person. And he's always coming to me, and I have a lot to learn from you, Scott, actually, this one. He's always coming to me to make my life better. And he goes, Monroe, just like you said, your podcast last time was great. We would, you know, everyone would love to have you back. And it's, oh, it makes me feel good. Oh, of course I'd love to come back again and stuff like that. I would do anything for Scott DuPont. Whenever he calls, I go, what are you doing? And let me know how I can get involved. Why? Because I know he's got this great heart. He always wants to help me. And it's weird. And this is the truth is, Scott, no one is 100% altruistic. The truth is, why does Scott do anything like that? Why do I like helping people? It makes me feel good. It makes Scott feel good.
It's the sixth human need. I think most people genuinely want to help other people if they can.
Absolutely. And so it's like a win-win. You help other people and you feel great because you're helping other people. But it's so nice because whenever Scott gets in touch, I don't think about the fact that, oh, it's making Scott feel great. I think about the fact that it's making me feel great, that he's bringing opportunities, things to me, and he's always looking out for me. So that's the first thing during that interim. Research this investor. How can you help that investor? Now think, how do you help the investor? What is the investor then looking for? In general, they want, we're talking film investors. Number one, they want to be part of something cool that they can brag to their friends about. No one wants to be part of a silly 2-minute short film with a bad cameraman. But it doesn't mean a 2-minute short film has to be considered crappy. There are some amazing short films on YouTube that have millions of views. And that could be the guerrilla networking tool that gets people to come to you. The TEDx, for me, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, because you've heard these stories about these TEDxes that can blow up. And by the way, if you're listening, hope you'll check it out around June, July, 2024. It's guerrilla networking.
You'll have millions of people watching you.
Yeah, these people could potentially watch that and go, I want to book that guy to speak. I want this guy's help. I want his advice on it, whatever it may be. Think about that when you're thinking about these investors. The best situation is just like what happened recently, where this investor comes back to me and goes, do you have any more projects I can invest in? If you don't have any projects yet, that's fine, but you can still make them want to get back in touch with you.
That's real trust and rapport, like you talk about in your first book. When people circle back to you or say, hey, Monroe, what's up? Or hey, Scott, what's up? You got any project? That doesn't happen very often, but it's pretty amazing when that does happen.
And to piggyback on what you just said is, you don't want to get rid of traditional networking. They work part and parcel. For example, I let Scott know about my TEDx. That was me doing traditional networking. But as a result, I was on his mind. And next thing I know, he sends me this message now today going, hey, I want you to be back on the podcast. In some ways, it was both. It was guerrilla networking me because I told him about the TEDx, but I first started it by planting the seed for the traditional networking. I reached out. Now Scott reached out to me through my guerrilla networking because of the TEDx to say, be on the podcast. But now I'm thinking more and more about podcasts because Scott keeps getting in touch with me. So whenever I think of podcasts, who am I thinking of? Scott DuPont. So if I wanted to start a podcast or someone else wants to start a podcast, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to reach out to Scott, or I'm going to refer somebody to Scott DuPont. So think of always, it's not, I'm just a guerrilla networker and it's the equivalent in acting world of the movie star who becomes so successful, who gets offended when he or she is asked to do an audition. Because that audition is basically, you want me to do traditional networking? No, I want guerrilla networking. I want you to just give me the part. So while you're thinking, I want you to think, how can I make this opportunity really interesting for the investor? What can I do to make the person, the investor, think, just remember, they've got a limited amount of money, every investor. And that person could be someone who's just earned $15 working at McDonald's. That's 15 bucks. That person has to decide, where do I spend it? And you may think, oh, of course, someone who's working at McDonald's, 15 bucks an hour, the only place they could spend it is on their bills. Not true. I saw this guy out here in Miami Beach, and I just outside of a little mini mart, and I was looking to the left, I was drinking a soda or something, and I see him, and he's, there were these scratch-off tickets. And I looked, and I did a double take. They said, each one of them said $25. He had about 40 of these things. So, I mean, that was probably like $600 or something. I said, how much did you spend? And he said, yeah, I spent pretty much my whole salary. I said, you just spent your, I said, why don't you invest in the S&P 500? If you spend that much, I mean, you're going to have a really nice nest egg. He goes, no, because I really need to make $1 million. What I'm telling you is people are irrational with money, but they're rational when the right opportunity comes. So don't assume that someone, that your friend is not able to give you money.
No, never prejudge anyone ever. Cause you don't know what's going on. They could have won. I had two potential investors. One had just won the $7 million lottery. And you remember, Monroe, when I was working on that project, I still am to this day, Ticket Trouble, a movie about the lottery. You never know.
You never know. And that's why you never know about potential investors, what would make them want to work with you. Don't assume that every investor wants the same thing. One investor on You Can Kill Stephen King, the number one thing was, I want to have a small part in the movie. Great. If you can meet our financial needs, we will find a small part in the movie for you. Someone else has said, I'd really like to be on set during the whole shooting, just to be a part of it and watch it. Happy to do that. Someone else said, I want my money back. This was a lender. I want my money back within like 6 months of the distribution deal. That was a tough one. And negotiating that, because that's scary. And this and that, I was good about it to make sure that it wasn't, but we faced a potential lawsuit at some point with some of the investors. And
well, that leads me to something I want to talk about. We'll kind of wrap things up here in a minute. But you built this network, you're going back to somebody, you're talking about your movie. I want you to stress how it's got to be a win-win. Like you're trying to find out what the potential investor might excite them. Like, how important is it being a win-win, give and take?
100% win-win. And I would say the win needs to be, don't assume that getting money is your win. Because if the terms of those, as I just mentioned, I mean, face some potential lawsuits, that's in any business. I was able to negotiate out of it and everything's good. The lender was paid back in full, all good. But that I learned from You Can't Kill Stephen King, don't sell yourself short just to make your movie. In other words, if you are determined to direct it, you may or may not be correct in being firm. If there is no one else that can direct this film, then you be firm. And when the investor says, I'll give you the $50,000, but my friend needs to direct, don't cave just because there's money on the table. And so on the other hand, there are certain situations where a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. If you have many other films in the pipeline and you directing this film is not the most important thing, the more important thing is maybe you getting established as a screenwriter. or you getting established as a someone who's produced a successful film. Always discuss the pros and cons in your head. Be willing to negotiate, but not to the point where you go, I regret doing this movie the way that I did it because I sacrificed so much of what
never compromise, ever.
So that's what I would say. Win-win important. On one hand, yeah, be win for yourself. We just talked about that. Make sure you make sure that your investors are treated well. Give them regular updates on the, and this is part of your guerrilla networking pitch. You will be getting regular quarterly updates. I will send you emails personally. Here's my cell phone. You can reach out. I will, if you need to, I will go to the bank with you and show you what's in the bank account. Most of the people are scared that you're a total idiot or a complete crook and you're going to take their money and just go off with it and do crazy stuff. It happens in every business.
Well, especially if they don't know you. That's why going to complete strangers usually doesn't work out for indie filmmakers.
Absolutely. And this is why it may be to your best. Don't try necessarily. And this is why Scott really helps people make films that are in, correct me if I'm wrong, under 500K.
A million tops, but yeah, usually between 100K. 500K to me is the perfect sweet spot if you've got the right story, but up to a million.
So why does Scott do this? Because he knows you're very unlikely to make, you're not going to go make a $30 million film as your first project. That's, no one's going to give you that much money unless by some fluke, Tom Cruise is the lead, Spielberg is directing, and your job is really just raising the money. Well, in that case, then maybe they will, because the credibility is from these other people with track records. If you don't have the track record, there is the best thing to do is start on a project that's manageable. And it doesn't even, and just doesn't matter how many credits you have on it. Just make it a success so that you've got something that you can go back to. It's the exact same process that I used. I started with, I lost my first $1 million investor, Brant Anderson, back in 2002, because I had no experience as a filmmaker. I'd never made a movie. And ultimately he said, I'm not going to give you $2 million.
But he gave you great advice.
But it was great advice because I learned when I got back from Iraq, I'm going to go to film school, which I did. I'm going to start my own film school. And I made 15 short films with my students. I took this collection of films, presented it to the investors for You Can't Kill Stephen King. And guess what?
Boom.
Rainmaking. And now this guy, people investing in You Can't Kill Stephen King are coming back saying, I want to do it again. I know if I just took You Can't Kill Stephen King, if I had it, I'm just waiting.
That's guerrilla networking
the right
project. There.
Because if I got, what's that?
That's guerrilla networking right there. You
right
just
there, it's
up.
Happening. And all I now, if I do a little traditional networking and I hold a screening for You Can't Kill Stephen King for 100 potential investors, then that film, and then saying, hey, by the way, this went to Cannes, this sold in 11 international territories, this makes money every year.
Would any way like I can help you get that, let me know. I want to support you finally doing your next film.
I still need to figure out what the heck that project is. I realized, we were talking about this about 6 or 7 months ago, and you helped me realize that, dude, all I need is the project again, because I do have the credibility to raise the money for another feature film. You need that creative muse. So it'll come,
and I'd love to talk to you for ages,
man.
Team
and, We'll
love to talk to you about that, but one final question, because we're running up against a time thing. If someone is an introvert, they're not good at networking. They're not comfortable with meeting people. What's some advice that you can give just so people can learn that going up to someone saying hello is not so bad?
Perfect question. And I got a story from yesterday. I teach part-time at EF. It's a foreign language in an exchange school here in Miami Beach. And students come from all over the world, and generally they're younger. And yesterday we were doing improv comedy, and I was using it as a skill to learn as an entrepreneur so that you don't get flummoxed when you're in an interview or an investor meeting or something, and they ask a question and you don't know what the answer is. If you know improv and you have improvisational skills, you can win. Two of the students were like, I'm not going up. I'm not going to go up. And these are not acting students. They're just here to practice their English and go swimming at the beach. And I said, come on. I know you can do it, blah, blah, blah. They both went up and they kicked butt. And they got the people laughing. And I just gave them a 10-minute improv comedy lesson. Yes, and establish the relationships, establish the scene. Go for it, guys. And they were so shocked because I asked everyone in the class, how many of you think that these two students did an amazing job? Everyone raised their hand.
Wow.
So the lesson is, if you're an introvert and you're lacking confidence, first of all, you're much better than you think you are. You just think you don't like talking to people. You just think that you're not good with words. Number one, you are. Number two, how do you improve it? Go to an improv. I didn't just give you the finger, sorry. take an improv comedy class. Find something that teach, especially the Harold technique, fantastic. Two, maybe do Toastmasters. Learn how to do public speaking. That's the main thing if you want to overcome that. If you want to just stay in your shell, the power of word is incredible.
Toastmasters, great, great, great idea.
And you can also do amazing stuff. I'm a really good writer. I'm able to get people to respond to my emails because I'm good at writing. You can apply all of these techniques. Again, if you don't want to talk to somebody, you could just send an email saying, hi, I have a film. Tom Cruise is attached. Spielberg is directing. It starts shooting in 2 weeks. Can we talk for 5 minutes? I don't think anybody would say no. They don't even know you. They have no idea why you're writing to them. Go, well, that sounds like an interesting conversation. I would give that person the time of day. So don't think about the method of communication. It's the content. If you can relate the content in such a way that they go, ooh, you good. And you say, I prefer to just chat via email. Obviously, eventually you're going to have to show your face and talk, but it should be easier after you break the ice through that introductory call or email.
Yeah. Great advice from the author of Guerrilla Networking. And Roman, thank you so much for coming on. Before you leave, if someone wants to research a little bit about your networking platform called Breakdiving, tell us a little bit about that, where they can look that up.
Yeah, sure. So Breakdiving, instead of waiting for opportunities, break divers dive in and make their own breaks. We're a global, not-for-profit, personal growth community. We got people all around the world, and we're all kicking ass in life. We call it the friendliest place on the internet because everyone just supports all of your dreams. And love you to check out breakdiving.io. It's spelled BREAKDIVING.io. And we would love to see you there. And it's free to join.
Awesome. I talked to a filmmaker from Czechoslovakia yesterday. So I hope he's listening and I hope he plugs in if he wants to. And what's the best way that people can contact or follow you?
Sure. You could search for me on the internet. Just type in my name, Monroe Man. Beyond that, you can visit monroeman.com. And I guess I'm on X now, they call it. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Monroe Man.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Monroe. Really appreciate your coming back.
Love it, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's time!
There's never been a better time to make your own film. And if you have a dream project you're excited about and 100% committed to getting it funded, go to financeyourmovie.com, click on the green telephone, you'll see our calendar and find an open spot. We'll do a one-on-one call, which will be the best hour you've ever spent getting clarity and strategy towards financing your movie.